Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and God bless you. This is Elder Kendall, and you're with Let's Talk About It. Our topic tonight is Monday. Our topic tonight is Monday. Won't you tell someone to join us on the broadcast tonight? If you would share this, I would greatly appreciate it. God bless you, Sister Phyllis. If you would share this for me, I would appreciate it. We're going to have an awesome time on tonight. God has been blessing us with an interactive broadcast and being able to get questions from you. God bless you, Sister Carter. Always good to see you, family. Our topic tonight is money. If you would share this broadcast and let people know that we're on the air, we're going to talk about some different topics and things different from what you expect when we talk about money, but I promise you it's going to be good. It may be some things you already know, but it's nothing like good reminders to buy and increase our foundation. Amen? Okay, we're going to go ahead and start with prayer. Father, we thank you and we magnify you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. There's none like you nowhere. You're good all by yourself. Father, we thank you for thine anointing that destroys every yoke and lifts every burden in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that those that are listening tonight and those that will tune in and play the replay, that they'll receive the same anointing. Father, that tonight that destroys yokes of bondage, that you'll destroy the yoke of poverty and undisciplinedness in the name of Jesus, and that we would reap the benefit, hallelujah, that we would be overtaken, that our blessings would overtake us according to your word, that we would receive the pressed down, the shaken together, and the running over, that we would receive the window promise, the covenant promise, that you would open up a window in heaven and bless us, hallelujah. We thank you and we magnify you in your son Jesus' name, amen. Sister Carter, you said you can't see me. I don't know why. It's showing me that it's fine. Can anyone else not see me? Sister Phyllis, can you see me? God bless you, Pastor Bebe. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Minister Mark Clements. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Our topic tonight is money. I'm asking if you would share the broadcast. You all, if you don't have a pen and paper out, I'm going to ask you to get one. If you're somewhere you can't get pen and paper, then please take these notes on your phone. Okay. Sister Carter, I don't know why you can't see me. The other viewers are able to see me, but thank you so much for letting me know. You all, when we talk about money in the church, a lot of times people automatically think that we're going to ask them for something. But tonight I'm not asking you for anything. I want to teach and share something with you, give you some foundational reminders. Sometimes when we're in the midst of a situation, we forget what we already know. The Bible tells us that if we bring our tithes and our offering into the house of God, amen, he tells us that it's those first fruits, the 10%, right? And we know that. The New Testament tells us, give as it has been given unto us, right? So we know those things. We know those scriptures. But do we actually put them into practice? Are you actually giving your first fruits? Or are you paying everything else and then giving God his? The thing that I want to talk to you about tonight is the other 90%. I want to talk to you about how important it is that we manage what God's given us correctly, what we spend it on, who we give it to, how we sow it. It's important because everything that we sow into is going to reap a harvest. I promise you it will. It's biblical. It's been proven over and over and over again. Whatever we sow into, it's going to reap a harvest. Amen. When we look at the discipline of our society today, a lot of people are in a lot of debt, whether it's student loans, whether it's credit cards, whether it's things that we purchased that maybe we should have waited for. And we've talked about before the power of buying in cash, the power of saving. But tonight I want to talk to you about how to make your money work for you. Amen. And I believe that Sister Carter can attest to this. You all, when you are a giver, there are so many things that you miss. I'm serious. I mean calamity. So many downfalls that you miss. If you don't have finances right now, then what you need to do is begin to sow your time on purpose. You need to begin, God bless you, Sister Angela, you need to begin to sow into God's kingdom, whether you're giving your time at a shelter, whether you're giving your time at a hospital, or whether you're giving your time to your local ministry. You need to begin to sow. You need to begin to give in order to put the law of reciprocity back into you. What you give out is going to come back. If you're not giving out anything, then you're on the mercy of God. And it's not that he is not good in his mercy, amen? But what I'm saying is that we can live above mercy. We can live above financial miracles. We can. We can live above need, lack, and poverty because the Bible tells us that we can. So here we are. We're going to take a look at whatever your gross income is because God said your first fruit, right? So then we're giving God, if we're not giving God our 10%, tonight we're going to repent for that. And we're going to begin to give him that 10% off the top. That's a move of faith. That's a move of trust. He tells us in his word that if we rob him, that we're not going to know where we went. It's going to be like having holes in our bag, holes in our pocket, and we're not going to know where it went. And I can tell you from experience, from going from not being a tithe payer maybe some 20-some odd years ago to the years that I have been faithful to God, and oh my, has he been faithful to me, amen, that when you give, it makes a difference. That when we hold back, when we allow fear, when we allow our wants and our desires to become greater than what God has told us to do, then we begin to make an idol out of something else. And he's not going to have any other God before him. And your car will break down. You're like, oh, she's talking doom and gloom. No, I'm talking about that. And then you will find a way to get that car fixed. But we won't take the initiative to believe that we can give God that 10% off the top. And that he would still provide for us. Amen. It's especially difficult when we have some trust issues just in general. Okay? So then when we look at how we can make our money work for us, if you're still sowing into the kingdom of God and you're sowing that 10% and then you're giving an offering, whatever your offering is, whatever God tells you to give in an offering, I believe that you can hear him. You hear him tell you what where not to go and what not to do. So I believe you hear it from time too, amen. And follow those instructions. When you sow into a person's life, sow into that person's life on purpose. sow into that person's life on purpose. Why do I say that like that? Because in the Apostle Paul tells us that he prayed that God would take care of those that took care of him. And then he enlarged that prayer and said those that take care of those that preach the gospel, that minister the gospel. If you're in the house of God and you have a pastor, you should take care of that pastor. What do I mean by take care of? You should be able to sow into that pastor's life, whether financially, whether it's time, whether it's something that needs to be taken care of. Sow into that man or that woman of God's life, and you'll reap the benefits of it. You will. When we look at the natural side of money, look at what your annual income is and make you an annual budget and break that budget down monthly. Imperative that we have what I call stash cash, that cash for those unprecedented situations that you don't know that's going to occur. So then after we give our tithes and offering, amen, after we've paid our bills, then we need to pay ourselves, and then we need to have money for stash cash. And you say, well, other than that, I can't do that. My mom doesn't go far. I don't have all of that. Then we need to look at our living situation. What are you driving? Where are you living? Are you living alone and you actually need to be living with a roommate? Are you driving something that you're paying monthly for when actually right now you need to drive something that you can pay cash for? I'm serious. Are you eating at the restaurant 5 and 6 times a week when you need to cut down and take 3 or 4 of those meals at home? Lunchtime. Do you need to do prep for lunch to work rather than spending $10 and $12, sometimes $20 on lunch? When a family member calls, are you asking God, am I supposed to give this? Because this is the 90%, but it's still his. Because we're his, right? So then we need to make sure that this is what he's saying do with this. You have been there where your heart will tell you to do something that's not wise for your budget. Someone else's lack of preparation does not mean an emergency from you. Someone else's lack of preparation does not make it an emergency for you. Why? Because their lack of preparation, their disorder, their dysfunction, God bless you, Sister Patterson, their dysfunction is going to cause and corrupt the plan that you're on. So I want you to send me some questions if you have any questions about money. I want you to know that what we can do is that you can open a savings account and not attach a debit card to it. It'll help you save more, help you save better. It will. If you all would send me some questions, I would greatly appreciate it. If you have any questions about money, I want to talk about streams of income. What is it that you would do for free that you really enjoy, that's not stressful, that's not that you just enjoy, that is something that you can get out of bed and do, and that you would do it free and have a wonderful time doing it? God, send me some of those items, something that you would do for free. Maybe it's something you're already doing for free. Oftentimes when we hear the scriptures and say that our gifts will make room for us, people think about position. And that's possible. It could be position. But a lot of times I find that the saints of God have gifts and they don't know how to market them. And I'm not talking about prostituting prophecy. I'm talking about that we have gifts. Oh, Sister Angela, that is fantastic. Gardening, everyone wants their front lawn to look absolutely wonderful. It's something that she enjoys. what would it take for her to go ahead and make a business card? God bless you, Brother Jones. It's good to see you. What would it take for you to make a business card, to make a flyer, and pass it out in your neighborhood? Set a price for they purchase the flowers and how much you're going to charge them for the job, the project, or even maybe by the hour. It's something you enjoy. It's something that if your neighbor came and asked you to do, you would do it anyway. We're talking about Sister Angela right now, something that she enjoys. You all send me something that you enjoy doing, that you would do, that you could do for free, but that's how much you enjoy doing it. Brother Jones is probably not going to have one of those. But he is actually a very, very helpful person to the community. He is always sponsoring an event to help children, to help single mothers. I appreciate that. And he's consistent with it. We have growing food and teaching others to sustain. There's actually, believe it or not, Sister Angela, there are grants for the inner city. It's because it's considered a desert land, a place where people cannot get fresh vegetables and fresh fruit. And there are actually monies that are available for you to cultivate vacant lots and teach people how to do that. That's available money, grants that are running right now. That you've had with money. We're going to talk about how to get out of credit card debt. How do you do that? You can start with your smallest credit card bill and begin to pay it off. So one bill is $150. Now, all the time you're maintaining paying the minimum balance on everything, but the other cards, you're paying them off. So then if you have a $500 balance, whatever you have extra that month, that's going toward that $500 balance card, if that's the lowest card. And you continue to do that, and you would be surprised that in 12 months, most of the time you're going to be out of credit card debt. If you have thousands of dollars of credit card debt and your credit card's at a high interest rate, then what we need to do is look at getting a loan to pay those off when the loan rate is going to be lower than the credit card rate. I'm going to say that again. If you have very high debt in credit cards and you have high interest rates, it is better to get a loan, pay the credit card debt off, and then pay the loan. God bless you, Brother Kendall. God bless you, Brother Tyrone. We're talking about money. We're talking about what it is in the kingdom of God. We've already talked about the fact that we give our tithe and our offering, talked about sowing into the man or woman of God's life, and receiving a harvest. What we're looking for now are things that you've had problems with. We're talking about what's important is that you be able to pay cash for items and not have to go into debt. Why is that important? Because the Bible tells us that the one that owes the person, the one that's owed is the master, and the OE is the slave. So we don't want to be a slave to debt. You want to get your savings account. You want to make sure that your savings account is not connected to a debit card. Some of us do therapeutic shopping. I'm not going to mention any names, but it's important, you all. We can pay cash for things. We can save for them and obtain them and not have a worry about somebody else coming to get them. Amen. Whether it's a car, whether it's a television, a certain computer system that you want. Amen. So no one is saying that they've had a problem with money, and that's absolutely wonderful. That means that all of you are tithe payers and that there's no lack and there's no poverty, because poverty is a mindset. Poverty says, I want this now, and I'll pay and do whatever necessary to get it now. That's a poverty mentality. Poverty will buy on instinct, rather than try and find out about the item without doing any research or anything. Poverty will make a purchase for wary longing or need that actually has nothing to do with the item that they're purchasing. Poverty mindset is when we do impulsive buying to satisfy an emotional need that has nothing to do with the purchase. And we will pay absorbent costs absorbent interest rates unnecessarily because we won't wait because we have to have it now. That's a poverty mindset. You all, is there any questions? We have about a good 10 minutes left on broadcast. The one other thing that I want to leave with you is that find out what it is that makes you happy. The thing that you can do for free, the thing that you enjoy, and I promise you it's a way to market it. A legal, legitimate way to market it. It is. Whether you are promoting parties and events, whether it's people's gathering, whatever it is that you like to do, I guarantee you there's a way to increase the cash inflow that you have coming on now. God bless you, Olivia. Thank you for joining us. It's important that we realize that money is a tool. The love of money that's evil, not money itself. And when you realize that it's a tool and you use it for its purpose, money gives you more options. The more money that you have, the more options that you have. You know, a simple example that I heard a man of God use one day, he said if you were stuck in a city, if you were stuck in a place, he said, and you only had bus fare, then your only option would be to wait for the bus. But if you were standing at the bus stop and had money, you could take a cab, right? That's going to get you there faster. That's another option. You could leave the bus stop if you had more money and call for a helicopter to get from place A to B, right? He said, well, why could a person that can afford a helicopter, why would they be standing at the bus stop? In Chicago, they do it all day long. Go down to the financial district. Because we have money does not mean that we have to spend it. God bless you, Dr. Wright. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to say it again. Because we have money does not mean that we have to sit. You are, it's imperative that we get rid of the poverty mindset that says I have to have it now, that I can't wait till I save for it, that I have to have it now. And that, again, remember that those purchases are fulfilling a temporary emotional need that has nothing to do with the purchase. Nothing at all. Remember that another person's lack of planning does not make an emergency for you. It doesn't. Chaos, your drama, does not make an emergency for someone else. And vice versa, their drama does not make an emergency for you. Does that mean that real emergencies don't occur? Absolutely not. But you need to seek God, even about the 90%. Even about the 90% that's yours, you need to seek him about it. Because when that 90, when that amount dwindles down, it's going to be him that you're going to be asking. So then if we seek him in the forefront, right, if we seek him in the beginning, then we'll have a plan. So now we have a budget. We've looked at our annual income. We've made an annual budget. We've broken that budget down into months. And then we're going to break that monthly budget down into the periods you get paid. If you get paid every week, then you need to have a weekly budget. If you get paid every 2 weeks, then you need to have a biweekly budget. And you all keep it realistic. If you know that you're going to need hair, weave, and makeup, make that a part of your budget. If you know that you go out to eat 3 and 4 times a week, you will need to do one or two things. Either increase your grocery budget and cook at home or decrease the restaurant budget. Amen? It's amazing to me that we will not, that the, in our community, and when I say our, I'm referring to African Americans, in our community, we touch $1 billion. But our ownership is very, very low. Very low. God bless you, Sister Veronica. Just because we have money does not mean we have to spend it. And the lack of someone else's preparation does not make an emergency for you. We're talking about some foundational items that we're revisiting. You need to give, we need to give our tithes and offerings off of the top, that first fruit, off of that growth. And then we need to give us an offering. And I, as we said earlier, I believe that we cannot, just like we hear him all this other time, we hear him at offering time telling us what to give. We're not giving out of being controlled or manipulated, seduced. We're not giving out of that. He said he loves a cheerful giver. So then when I'm cheerful, I'm not stressed. I'm not worried about it. It wasn't a hocus-pocus type of thing. It wasn't because of an emotion that I gave. But I heard God say, this is what you're going to give, and I gave it. And I'm free, and I can trust him and keep on doing, right? I'm not bound, leaving service going, oh, my God, what did I do? How am I going to get my baby to school next week? Are you for real? You are, I'm serious. I'm sharing this because I've been there with poverty thinking. You have to change your thinking. How do we change our thinking? By renewing our minds. With what? The word of God. He says in all of our getting, he wants us to get an understanding. The average 18-year-old doesn't have any idea about money. Why? Because we didn't get him any training at home. We didn't teach him what not to spend, how to spend. He's going to duplicate what he saw. She's going to duplicate what she saw. Be real with yourself about your budget. I'll go back over a couple of things because we've had some more people to come on the line. If your credit card debt is very high, and your interest rate on your credit card is high, then it is better for you to take out a loan, pay the credit card debt off, and then pay the loan because the interest rate is going to be lower, so it's going to save you more money. Amen? Don't let credit cards be your way of life. I'm talking about in a normality. Every winter, we need a miracle to pay our gas bill. You all, that's wrong. That's not kingdom. That means that something, some everyday practice that we have is out of order. And we continue, as believers, find ourselves in a deficit. There's something that we're doing wrong. Whether it's on purpose or whether it's just by ignorance, it's still wrong and it's still keeping us in debt. Well, we cannot be afraid to ask questions. If you're having a problem with making your mortgage, don't wait until it's in foreclosure to ask for help. Don't do that. Pride will say, I don't want everybody in my business. But somebody, you need to let somebody in your business that knows something about money so that you can get out of the habit and the place that you're in. So then what do? We take on humility and we take on meekness, which we should already have as believers. Honestly, you all. Let this be the year that you make a change in your spending, in your accountability. Just because you have money does not mean you have to spend it. It has been an absolute pleasure. I'm excited. God bless you all. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About It. This is Elder Kathy Ann Kendall, and we're making life make sense. Good night, you all. God bless you.